Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
4:08 Friday afternoon, Dave Glover Show. Tony Colombo in for Dave today, who's taking the day off, the first day off of 2020 for Dave. Well deserved. Just taking an extended weekend. We are going to be playing a best of Dave Glover Show on Monday on the holiday. And it's going to be some of the best games we've played here lately. And we are also going to replay Dave Murray's summer 2020 forecast. So make sure you are listening to that. Still going to be a lot of fun on Monday. And then on Tuesday, Dave will be back and the whole gang will be back as well. Rachel's here in the studio. Sue is alongside as well. And now joining us for this hour, and we had to get a little creative to make this happen, so we're all going to find out here together, the co-host, my co-host, on the Weekend Report, which you can hear every Saturday from 5 to 7 here on 97.1 FM Talk. Chris Arps is joining us. Chris, can you hear us?
I hear you fine. How is everybody doing?
What's up, Chris?
You sound good, and we can hear you, and I think we're doing great. How about you, sir?
Tony, it sounds like I've just talked to you. It's amazing. It's deja vu.
I know. I don't know. I don't know how that works, right?
Yeah. Crazy.
So, yeah, we've got a fun hour in store. Chris is going to be with us for the entire 4 o'clock hour. A little bit later on, we are going to talk to Jim Talent. Your former coworker, boss, what was the connection there with Jim Talent, Chris?
I was very fortunate to be a field representative for Jim Talent when he was a senator.
There you go.
One of the most intelligent men that I've ever met in my life.
Very good. Well, it's going to be fun to talk to to the Senator Talent here a little bit later on this hour. We'll also get the weekend forecast from Dave Murray in a few minutes, but right now we're going to start with headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get the app that gets you. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. So, the story that's on everyone's mind is, of course, Joe Biden doing an interview with The Breakfast Club. Charlemagne the God sat down with Mr. Biden over Zoom or whatever one of those apps is. Zoom is the common one.
Right.
And the thing that's making headlines is Joe's comments at the very end of the interview. Let's listen to this 30 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. You know,
he's saying, I want something for my community. Yeah. And at the beginning of the clip, you could hear one of Biden's people popping into the interview and saying, I'm sorry, just have to get out of here as soon as possible,
right,
which made Charlemagne upset.
Yeah, they were discussing the possibility of who's going to be Joe Biden's vice president. Charlemagne was making the point that there's many in the black community that want him to select a black female, and we're questioning, you know, or talking about the support that he has with black people versus Trump. And then Joe Biden says that line that if it's down between him and Trump and you're not supporting him, then you ain't black. Chris Arps, as a black conservative, How did those words hit you?
Well, first off, I think it hits me as a black conservative, and it hits anybody that is black as very insulting. And I think Charlemagne the host kind of expressed that a little bit in his response when he said it's about trying to get something for my community. I think this is another thing that shows that Joe is slipping and is not on top of his game. And to say something like this, you know, proves that he's a gaffe machine. And this is just one of many, many, many coming in the next few months.
Do you think that this... I think that when Biden says that, he believes it. I think that him and many other Democrats, not all, but many Democrats, just take the minority vote, the black vote, but the minority vote altogether for granted. And they just they have this presumption that those people vote for Democrats. This is where you belong. And that's it. There's no discussion. And I think I find that to be very closed-minded. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I mean, if you've had if one demographic has voted for your party for the last 50 years, I mean, that's evidence enough that, you know, you've got that vote pretty much locked up. When you look at historically how the African-American vote has been ignored by Democrats until election time, and then you see them in the black churches, and then you hear them speaking Ebonics, and then you hear them, you know, doing the things necessary in the black community to get that vote, but they're nowhere around, you know, during the rest of the campaign season. But I also always say, though, Tony, that it's also a reflection on the outreach efforts of the Republican mm-hmm. Party mm-hmm. that there are a lot of African Americans who know that the Democratic Party takes them for granted and believes in the things that I've said before, but they feel that the Republican Party is a worse alternative. There has been poll after poll after poll that when Democrats are polled on how conservative they are, African Americans are always the most conservative within the Democratic coalition, and it's not even close.
So I have, you know, the vice president talk around Biden's campaign has obviously been a big issue for a while now, and I have said before that I would be shocked if he doesn't select a black woman as his running mate. I know that he hasn't made any promises to that extent, that he's only said a woman. He's vetting Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren as well, you know, white women as well as minorities. But in the moments before that comment, that was the discussion that they were having. And Charlemagne pointed out that he said to Biden, quote, "Black people saved your political life in the primaries this year. And they have things they want from you. And one of them is a black woman for vice president." Do you think that the black Democrat vote, Chris, won't accept anything else out of the Biden campaign than a black woman president? Because that's what it seems like Charlemagne was saying in that interview.
Look, I think, because the African-American community, a lot of them despise Donald Trump, that I think in the long run, the Democrats will make the case that, hey, you got to forgive us for choosing someone else. The hope, remember the big picture, keep your eye on the prize, and that's defeating Donald Trump. The problem with the Democrats that the African-American females that they are vetting for vice president, I mean, just think of them, and it's not personal, but they don't have any experience. Joe Biden is 78 years old. He's slipping. You know, he's on the verge of dementia. So any one of these women could be president of the United States. You know, there's a new entrance.
You don't think Stacey Abrams is ready to be president, Chris?
Of a congresswoman from Florida who's a freshman, who was a sheriff. Do you want someone that like that, with that lack of experience, being a heartbeat away from the presidency? Do you want Stacey Abrams a heartbeat away from the presidency? Do you want Kamala Harris a heartbeat away from the presidency? So there's not any viable alternatives within that community. And I've said all along that I think that the person Joe Biden's going to pick is Elizabeth Warren because she appeals to the Bernie Sanders voters, which he lost or Trump gained 12% of them in 2016.
I'm not even sure that. Go ahead.
I just think it's such an incredible moment. Like, the whole thing. I mean, even if you take politics out of it, anytime a white person is going to inform black people on their own blackness, it's just like, don't do it. Like, you have to be incredibly charming to pull something like that off. And you're an old guy on Zoom and you've already had this kind of contentious interview. I have no idea why he thought that could ever be appropriate. He's actually already expressed regret, walked back the comments. Yeah. He was on a phone call with black business leaders earlier today, and immediately in the call, he's like, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. So he's getting some pretty.
He has to, but he meant it.
Rachel, I think when you have a guy who gropes on other men's wives and sniffs young girls' hair, you kind of think you're Rico Suave and can get away with that and have that kind of charm. So
yeah, he thinks he's,
you know, he's kind of out there anyway.
Yeah, he thinks he's accepted. We've talked about that many times on this show. Mm-hmm. You know that you're on the right side of the issues, so you can get away with more than other people would be able to, and I think that's exactly...
That was just an insulting comment. Regardless if you're on the left or the right of the political spectrum as an African-American, that's insulting that a 70-year-old white man of what they would call privilege is talking about who has the right to say they share in the black experience is an insult.
Yeah, spent a little bit more time on that one than the typical headline, but for obvious reasons. Go ahead, Rach.
Let's see. Like Chris said, the process for vetting the VP has apparently already begun. He's looking at Amy Klobuchar, apparently. That's the big rumor going around right now. What's the likelihood of him picking someone like her?
So you just said that you believe that that Elizabeth Warren is the one that he's going to pick, but do you think,
I do.
Do you think that's the one that does the most for the campaign? Because I honestly don't believe that Klobuchar, Warren, Abrams, Kamala, any of them move the needle for the Biden campaign.
Well, as I was saying, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren were going after the same quote-unquote progressive voters. And Tony, I know you're as good as in math as I am, and you know that if you lose 12% of your base and you have to make that up, you're starting from a hole. So you need to keep those voters that you lost to Donald Trump in 2012, the Bernie Sanders supporters, the progressives. You need to keep them in the Democratic coalition and the LGBTQXYZ coalition and the Hispanic coalition and every coalition that the Democrats have. You have to keep them together and carry Joe Biden across the finish line.
I think they're too... they're too far apart. I don't even think the Warren people like the Sanders people anymore. Like, I just think that they're so scattered on the left that it's going to be next to impossible for Biden to bring them all together.
Let's just make this whole segment about Joe Biden.
All right.
I'm looking at a story here that Tara Reid's attorney just dropped her as a client. However, he says that he and his firm still believe her and that she's getting really unfair treatment in the media, offered no real specifics as to why he wasn't representing her anymore. My question to Chris is, do you think the Tara Reid story is just going away permanently because the media doesn't really want to talk about it anymore?
I think it's that, and I think that her story is kind of losing credibility, and the media is not going to follow this as much as if it was a Republican or a conservative. And I think what the attorney is saying, you know, in the short run is there's no money to pay him. So that's why she's getting dropped.
That's how you're reading between the lines. That's what you're reading.
Interviews, book deal that they expected. And, you know, he wants to get paid and the money's not coming in.
So that's what you're reading between the lines there from that statement?
Do.
Gotcha. Good stuff.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Dave Murray, get the weekend forecast. A lot of people are going to be on the road and maybe for the first time moving around more than usual this weekend. And weather's going to play, obviously, a big factor in what happens. So we'll get the weekend forecast. When we get back, we'll talk to Dave Murray. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo filling in for Dave today, who is just taking a day off. He will be back on Tuesday. Once again, we are going to have a best of the Dave Glover Show on Memorial Day, on the holiday. We're going to play some of the best games that we have replayed, some of the best games that we have played here recently. And we are also going to replay Dave Murray's summer forecast on Monday. So if you missed it, it'll give you a chance to hear it once again. As I mentioned, everybody else here, Rachel and Andrew are here. Sue is here. My partner from the Weekend Report, Chris Arps, is also connected. And the man who gave the forecast, the summer forecast yesterday. Everybody's looking forward to the big weekend forecast. Now, Dave Murray joins us. Dave, how's it going?
Yes, it's going good. Hey, yeah. I want to thank everybody who also went to the Facebook page, Dave Murray's Weather. We're pushing 30,000 hits since yesterday.
Oh, that's how you do that.
Telling you, man, those people are that is appointment listening for people every season when you give out the that season forecast. People are very interested in what you have to say, so that's awesome.
And folks are very nice about it. A lot of nice comments and latest pictures of the puppies there when you go to the Facebook page, so you get to see the months.
Yeah, these are some great photos. If you haven't checked them out yet, oh, they're so cute.
There's even for Tony, it's just for you. There's a shot of me holding Snowflake in my lap on a chair, and I'm barefoot.
No shoes. The only feet on earth that I can stand to look at, Dave Murray's.
You can go to Dave Murray's Weather to see the photos and see the full forecast. We also have that linked on our Facebook page and blog. Okay. It'll take you right back to his post.
So we were talking, Dave, earlier about how, you know, this was the first week that St. Louis City and County have gone through the reopening phase, the first week that many businesses have been able to reopen, and it's leading right into this holiday weekend where a lot of people are going to be going out and and maybe going to the restaurants for the first time or getting on the roads and traveling for the first time. So obviously this a holiday weekend forecast is always a big deal, but this one this one could be something that is going to impact even more people. So
yeah, and I really hope the restaurants, especially, you know, all the businesses, all the small mom and pop businesses, but the restaurants trying to operate relatively full staff with 25% of the tables.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
No kidding.
It's going to be tough.
And Sue, you've been mentioning throughout traffic, it looks like people are traveling. Like I mentioned that I'm going to the lake this weekend. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to the lake in months. It's been, you know, it's going to be weird to be, you know, to finally, I think it's going to be great, but it's going to be weird to, you know, finally be getting out of the house and doing things, and it looks like, at least from what you're seeing on traffic, that a lot of people are doing that, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's all headed toward the lake. Sorry, Tony, but westbound 6440.
Well, I'm not going anytime soon, so it's they can all okay. get down there.
Because it's jammed from, it was at Highway N, it's now Lake St. Louis, but it's the like the normal parking lot that you see between there and Wentzville, and wow. then it miraculously opens up. Yeah. And if you are doing that now, by the way, 70 is your best bet.
Gotcha. Good to know. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, just walk us through the weekend.
Yeah.
How's it look?
Let's. Yeah, what? We're okay this evening. If you want to get an early start on a barbecue, we're fine. There were storms out in western, even central Missouri today. They have all faded away, so that's not a concern. I do think we'll see another batch of rain and thunderstorms coming in very late tonight, certainly after midnight, probably after about 2 o'clock in the morning. Then Saturday is partly sunny. Be optimistic with the word partly sunny. There will be scattered rain and thunderstorms with a focus on the afternoon. And we'll get back to the focus time here in a minute. But 85 degrees, it's going to be warm and it's going to be humid. Saturday evening is dry. Most of Saturday night is dry. Sunday and Monday, scattered rain and thunderstorms. Again, the focus time will be the afternoon hours, 85 to 89 degrees. But we could squeeze out each evening, both Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, for any outside plans you may have. The focus time for this, remember, it's going to come at us in waves. No all-day rains, not even close to it. The focus time for rain and thunderstorms will be 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. When the storms roll up, they will produce heavy rain, lightning, possibility of some localized flash flooding, and a temperature drop, a temporary temperature drop of 15 to 20 degrees and a huge boost in the humidity. And then the temperatures recover very, very quickly. So if I had to pick the times to really pay attention, the afternoon hours, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But also there's going to be a lot of dry time this mm-hmm. weekend. There's going to be sunshine this weekend. It's going to feel like summer. It's warm. Some might even call it kind of hot for this time of year, and very, very humid.
Is your best chance for the most dry time in one of the days tomorrow, Saturday?
I think the best chance is going, you know, if you wake up early in the morning tomorrow and there's rain and thunderstorms, just let it, you know, throw the covers back over your head and let it roll by. It will come by very quickly. Then you've got really all morning, at least early afternoon. Then you have the wave come in. Then the evening, it should clear out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the story, both Sunday and Monday, too. So if I really had to pick the wet times, it would be that 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. right now. Maybe a little crazy even putting that on the table, but that's what I do.
And for the and for those people that are going to the lake, it's probably a very similar forecast, except obviously everything will be a couple hours earlier
yes,
there than it is
that,
here.
That's the difference, is that, you know, and I think that the best rule of thumb here is, no matter where you're going, think when the rain and thunderstorms move in, it'll be unsettled for about a 4 to 6 hour period. Not that it's going to be raining the whole time where you are, but 4 to 6 hour window, then an 8 to 12 hour window where nothing much at all happens.
Gotcha. I guess it could be worse, right? And
sure,
it's nice to hear that
the
it's nice to hear that the temperatures are coming back up. Do you think are we officially breaking out of the funk as far as the low temperatures, the below average temperatures that we've been in for so long?
I think so. Yeah, as we mentioned yesterday, June will bring a couple of cool snaps. But not cold snaps. And again, spring struggled. Summer is going to struggle a little bit. But we're getting out of this, you know, nighttime temperatures around 50 and daytime highs in the 60s. We're getting out of that.
Gotcha. All right. And Chris is having a party. He's barbecuing this weekend. He's invited everybody to come over.
Social distancing.
Yeah.
Social
Chris, distancing. What day are we all heading to your house?
That's due Thursday.
Before we let you go, Dave, we have a little couple stories left over from headlines, if you could stick around.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
This one's really interesting. I want to see if everybody would do this, because I think I don't know. I don't want to say anything. Go ahead.
So there's an epidemiologist from Harvard. His name is Mark Lipsitch. And he had the idea of using something called a challenge vaccine for COVID-19. This would give people the virus in the hopes of speeding up the development of the vaccine for COVID-19.
Which is very common.
Yes.
To do these type of tests.
But this is a rough one because they can't quantify the risk to the volunteer. As we know from media coverage, some people are completely asymptomatic and it's like they didn't even have it. And then other people pass away from it, unfortunately. So this does not have the green light. However, the World Health Organization is interested. They're kind of looking into it. But if they did want to go forward with that, already 23,000 people have signed up across 102 countries to become a volunteer. So I was telling Tony about this on the break, and he asked if they would be paid, and I said I didn't know. But now I'm seeing, I mean, if they're referring to them literally as volunteers and there's no price in the article, I guess these are people who are just saying, yeah, you can give it to me and we can see what happens and try to develop a vaccine.
Which, good for them if their heart is in the right place of they know that tests need to be done for a vaccine to be developed. But I would just assume that all those people were doing it because they wanted the money.
Make a couple thousand bucks.
That's pretty amazing.
They're calling it the COVID-19 Human Challenge, which sounds like the most hardcore challenge ever.
And then you wonder how we get supermoons and polar vortexes.
Yeah.
It's the same way.
Yeah, I don't think I would
give it a fancy name.
I don't think I would call it that.
Sounds Darwinian.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right term if you're trying to get people to sign up for your research to call it the
human challenge.
The human COVID challenge.
Icebox challenge.
Yeah.
Let's do one more before we go to break. Right. I just thought this was kind of neat. Other people might find this boring. I don't. There is now a webcam at the top of the arch that does a live stream. Sue loves it.
Love it.
There's a live stream to the east and to the west. It's called Arch at Home. You can search it on YouTube. I was looking at it the other day when it was super rainy and dreary outside, and it was pretty cool. So just another neat thing to add to the list.
That's awesome.
When you're on the internet.
Yeah, you're at that height, watching thunderstorms come in.
Oh. Yeah, there you go, Dave. Ooh. It says you can see 30 miles in either direction, which is just amazing.
That's great.
So it's called Arch at Home if you'd like to check it out.
And that's what Sue will be doing all weekend.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks,
going
Dave.
Going there right now.
Heck yeah, Dave.
Don't forget you can see the summer forecast. If you missed it yesterday, of course, you can get the podcast. You can go to Dave's Facebook page, and we're going to be replaying that on Monday as well. So go and make sure you check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk to Senator Jim Talent on the Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Dave Glover Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in for Dave today. Rachel is here, Andrew's here, Sue, and my partner from the Weekend Report, Chris Arps, is also alongside. In just a moment, we're going to talk to Senator Jim Talent. Chris, I wanted to give you a chance, though, to talk about promote the fact that you, of course, join me every Saturday on the Weekend Report, but you can also read Chris's work on redstate.com.
Yeah, I wrote an article this week about mail-in voting, how dangerous it is, how ripe it is for fraud. You can see that the president has threatened Nevada and Michigan with withholding money because they're talking about going to all mail-in voting. It's just ripe for fraud. And one of the prime examples of it, we've seen many stories about dead people on voting rolls, people that have moved still on the voting rolls. They're talking about sending ballots to every one of those people. and you never know what you're going to get back. You're going to get dead people voting, and it's just not going to be fair. And I think this is just one way that the Democrats are looking to steal the election. And so I wrote about that this morning, and anyone can go to redstate.com and read that article.
Yeah, the idea of mail-in voting is very scary to me. I can't believe we're even having that discussion. It's such a high level. But yeah, definitely make sure you go and check that out. Chris puts columns up regularly at redstate.com. And now we'll bring Senator Jim Talent on the line. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Fine.
Yeah, sorry, Jim. I didn't hit you. We heard you at the very end there. I'm filling in for Dave, and I didn't push the button. I introduced you, but I didn't have you turned on.
Well, so. It's good to talk. Good to talk to all of you, and yes. I guess to Tony and Chris a day earlier than I normally would.
Yeah, but, there you go. Exactly right. Thank you. Yeah, thank
and
you.
And I know that Chris Tony still remembers us.
I know that the concerns about voting by mail is not a new thing for Chris. I think his Project 21 group's yes. been concerned about it for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He wrote something called A Blueprint for a Better Black America, and that was one of the things that we stressed was how it disenfranchises African-American voters with illegal and dead people and voting.
As someone who has, you know, served at such a high level and been involved in elections, Senator, what would be, why should everybody be concerned about the idea of mail-in voting?
Well, the temptation in a highly competitive election for candidates or parties to rustle up a few extra votes through fraud is pretty intense. So if you're going to do mail-in voting on a broad basis, you have to have very strong protections against fraud. And that's difficult to develop in a couple of months, you know, when you're sort of putting it together on a jury-rigged basis because of the pandemic. So, you know, everybody needs to understand there are plenty of ways for people who are going to be out of town or can't get to the polls to vote without mail-in voting. It's not like, you know, you're going to be disenfranchised if we don't have it.
Mm-hmm. And you have a new article in National Review. We've been talking all show about, you know, it being a holiday weekend, the first big holiday weekend since the state of Missouri has gone into the reopening phase, especially here in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County. It's just been a week since we've started the reopening phase. Your new article discusses ending lockdowns. Can you tell us about the article?
Yeah, we're going to see a surge of reopening, whether the government likes it or not, over the weekend. Well, I wanted to make a couple of points in the column, Tony. One of them is, in all my discussions with pandemic experts over the last 12 years that I've been dealing with this issue, they've always, if not dismissed, they've been disrespectful towards the idea of general kinds of confinements as opposed to isolating the sick, right? Trying to isolate the healthy. They've never liked it. And it's because there are a lot of costs that go with it. It's not effective. The effectiveness of it diminishes rapidly over time. And one of the big problems with it is, it's very difficult to enforce. I mean, particularly when the urgent need for it seems to have disappeared. So what happens is people just start circulating whether the government likes it or not. And then you get the worst of all worlds, right? Because you're not limiting the transmission of the disease, but the existence of the, you know, of the quarantine is suppressing all kinds of useful activity. And that, so what I said basically was, look, we're opening up, and we need to go forward with a policy of empowering and persuading people to follow good protocols and protecting the high-risk populations.
Go ahead, Chris.
So then, now you don't have to. Nobody has to read the article now because I just summed it up.
Go ahead, Chris.
Senator, you're known as a foreign policy and military expert in Congress. You served on the Armed Services Committee in the Senate and House. What is your best opinion of what happened to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, he disappeared from the scene for a month there?
I feel sheepish because you just called me an expert. They call it the Hermit Kingdom for a reason. It's really difficult to determine this kind of thing. It could have been that he was there was an internal power struggle, and he disappeared as part of that. In other words, he was trying to maneuver to stay in power. Maybe he was really ill, particularly when you're dealing with somebody who is very unbalanced as he is. So, I suspect that our government at the highest levels has really good intel. I haven't been read into that, and I hesitate to speculate except to say that I wish he would go. And, if he goes by dying and meeting his rewards, that'll be okay for me, too.
Got a few minutes left with Senator Jim Talent. Senator, back to the reopening of the country. Two quick questions in the little bit of time that we have left. Do you feel like this, in your opinion, are we on the right track? Is the president's timeline one that you think is a wise one? And he also, the president this week, made a little news when he said that if there is a resurgence of coronavirus, he does not anticipate going through another shutting down of the country like what we just did. I'd like your thoughts on that statement as well.
Yeah, I think he said that because we now know that we have a greater margin of error than we reasonably thought we had 2 months ago. Against an overwhelming of the healthcare system if there is a spike in infections. And there's a lot of reasons, I think, for that. One of them is that I think we can have a reasonable confidence level that the disease is substantially less virulent than we feared it might be, which is to say that the percentage of people who will get severe cases is less than we thought or feared a couple months ago. So, and that was the primary reason for the shutdown, right? So I think the president's saying, look, we could see a spike, and maybe on a local level we'll have to return to this, but he doesn't anticipate that being necessary nationally. And I would agree, although, he'll do and the governors will do what they have to do if, and I hope this doesn't happen, we get a big spike across the country. So, yeah, I mean, I basically agree with what he's saying. I think his plan for opening was reasonable. In retrospect, they might have done it a little bit earlier. But, these difficult decisions are difficult. The pandemic's like the fog of war, and they're doing the best they can.
Can I just get your quick thoughts? The name calling that we saw this week, you served in both the Congress and in the Senate. And I just look, I never defend the president when he's doing his name calling. But when we have the president known for name calling and now the Speaker of the House saying morbidly obese, I just hate where we're at in politics right now. You've been there in the chambers. What do you think of where we're at as far as that's concerned?
Well, I'm old enough to remember a book called Everything You Need to Know You're Taught in Kindergarten. Which is like, don't like personally insult people. I don't like it when the president does that either. I've said on this show that I'll defend the president's policies. I think they've been very good. I'm not going to defend all of his tweets. And now we've got the speaker doing it. It's like, just don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets you any support. I may be wrong, but I don't think anybody who didn't support you in the first place says, oh, well, you got off a good insult. This isn't the Tonight Show in the old days or Saturday Night Live or something like that. So I agree with you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jim Talent, for your time. Senator Talent, thank you. Chris Arps, thank you, my friend. Talk to you tomorrow on the Weekend Report. We are going to take a quick break here. And when we get back, we're going to talk to our friend Mike Ferguson, who hosts the show American Viewpoints every Sunday morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike had a battle with coronavirus, a very serious one that found himself in the ICU for a period of time, and has experience with hydroxychloroquine, which has been back in the news big time this week after the president revealed that he was taking the drug as a preventative. So I wanted to get some insight about that and the experience that Mike had with coronavirus when we get back. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Dave Glover Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.